Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to supply everything that's needed to CEF, and I pray that you would bless that ministry. Lord, as we now turn our hearts to your holy word, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds for what you have prepared for us. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said. Well, today we finish up a series that we've been talking about, the whole topic of hospitality. This stemmed from a town hall meeting that we had a couple months ago. And we began this whole series thinking about what does God desire for those who come into Hope Lutheran Church? What is God's desire? And so we kind of worded it in a way that it would become our desire as well. And we began with, we want you to experience the love of Christ. We want you to experience the love of Christ. This comes multiple different ways, through the preaching of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, through the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. But it also comes through our fellowship, how we reach out to one another as we love as we have been loved by Christ, as we allow the love of Christ to flow in and through us as an act of worship to a holy God who is worthy. Pastor Ben then preached an amazing sermon called We Want to Serve You. And he reminded us that we're in this life of descent, this life of humility, this life of decreasing in ourselves and allowing Christ to increase in our life, looking to the needs of others as more important than ourselves, as it does say in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the example that we have is the selfless life of Christ, that he willingly emptied himself and became fully human, born in a manger in Bethlehem to provide salvation through his life, death, and resurrection. We want to serve you because Christ came to this world not to be served, but to serve. And we, as believers in Christ Jesus, walk in those same footsteps. Last week, we looked at this sermon entitled, We Want to Make a Difference With You. We talked about the places where God begins to stir us up to love and good works as we looked at Hebrews chapter 10. But we also talked about earlier in chapter 12, where we will find ourselves today, that we are one body knit together in Christ, that Christ has mysteriously knit us together through the salvation of Christ Jesus, and we are members of one another, and that Christ's love is to flow in and through our lives. And so today, the title of our sermon is We Want to Get to Know You. We want to get to know you, and that involves the people that have been here for years, but it also involves everyone who walks through the doors of this church for the first time. So join me in turning to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 9 through 13. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. A couple of scriptures I just want to share with you as they'll be put on the screen in front of you. John chapter 13, Jesus said these wonderful words to us as he was about to go to the cross for you and for me. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, in my opinion, the American church doesn't do this very well. We're very used to kind of living individualistic lives. We kind of go to our home and you have yours, I have mine. And we're unwilling to kind of be this selfless Christian who places the needs of others as more important than ourselves and allows God to knit us together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in this congregation. They will know that we are Christ's disciples because of our love for one another. Our love for one another proclaims the saving gospel of Christ with and without words as we proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ. Earlier in this chapter, in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, again, on the screen in front of you, it says this, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Again, this is something that doesn't flow naturally out of our person. Now, I'm going to admit, I'm an introvert. You know, my first tendency is going to grab a cup of coffee, give me a book, and I can be alone for hours. But that's not all Christ has for me. In those moments, I do treasure those moments, but that's not the end of the story because I'm called to these things. As your pastor, I'm called to engage with you, to get to know you, and we're going to have an opportunity for us to get to know one another that we're going to announce at the end of the sermon. And I think it'll be really fun, and I'm praying that all of you are willing to participate as Christ seeks to put this wonderful gift of hospitality in action in this congregation, and that we love as Christ has loved us. And we never do it because we have to. We always do it because we get to and because we want to, because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. Would you please stand at the reading of God's holy word? Romans chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 9, reading through verse 13. Again, reading in Christ's name. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Lord, I thank you for this series. It's really been helpful to me, and I know Pastor Ben feels the same way. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts that which you have begun. Bring it to completion. Lord, I pray that every single word that proceeds from my mouth is from you, according to your holy word, in the power of your Holy Spirit, and not from myself. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, you may be seated. And so what I love about hospitality is it begins with the promise of the resurrection, and it ends with the promise of the resurrection. The first thing that we see in our text in verses 9 and 10 is that only God can empower us to love in the way he has called us to. Only God can empower this type of love because it is not intrinsic to our very nature. It's not something that we naturally do. Oh, I'm going to love that person that just cut in front of me in the grocery line. I'm going to love, bless that God, that person that just cut me off and almost sent me into the ditch. Most of the time, we end up saying some very colorful metaphors, right? It's not our first reaction to place the needs of others as more important than ourselves. Let love be genuine. Can I tell you, I struggled with that this week? I did. My week was really good, but then Friday kind of hit, and then Saturday, something kind of happened, and I just kind of found myself kind of starting to retract from people. I found myself wanting to kind of pull back in and kind of hide in my little corner as an introvert. And that's not healthy, is it? Because the thing, when that happens, two things happen. One of two things happen. Number one, you start to kind of feel really, really lonely and maybe a little worthless. You start to pull into yourself and you kind of feel like, well, nobody really wants me anyway. I'm not really worth the effort, so why even bother? The other thing that's going to happen is you're going to kind of pull in and get kind of prideful. It's like, well, bless God, I don't need them. You let them do their thing, I don't need them. Both of those are live from the pit of hell. Both of them are. Because Jesus valued you so much that he went to the cross for you. He placed such a high value on who you are that he was willing to take your place on the cross of Calvary. So when we kind of feel worthless or not very significant in the body of Christ, that is the devil working in your heart. If we get too prideful and say, well, I don't need that fellowship. I'm good on my own. I got this. That's also a lie. Because we do need each other. God knows us. He created us in his image. He created us to be in community with one another. People from every tribe, every language, every nation, every tongue, everybody from different heritages come together, knit together in Christ Jesus as a family. Maybe a somewhat dysfunctional family, but a family nonetheless. Because we don't always have it together, do we? Let love be genuine. Where does that begin? I can tell you where it begins. It begins in the assurance of faith in Christ Jesus. Understanding that there's nothing that we can do to earn that salvation, nor do we deserve it. That's a good place to be, but don't stay there. Go on to the next thing that Scripture says. That Jesus Christ died for you so that you would have an abundant life. Not riches and wealth or an easy street. That's not going to happen. Abundant life in Scripture means that you have peace with God, that you know that you're saved, and that you realize that this world is not your home. Can anybody say amen? Because I'm telling you, you look at the news, and I don't want no part of that half the time. Do you? It's ugly out there sometimes. It's amazing how people just hate each other. It's awful. But that's not supposed to happen here. People are supposed to walk through these doors and say, what is going on in this place? I remember the first time I went to Connie's family for Thanksgiving. We were dating, and she invited me over there. And my family, I love them to death, but they're kind of dysfunctional. You know, God has done a miracle in my family, but I'm so thankful for them. But at that time, it was kind of weird. And I remember going to her family and kind of waiting for someone to drop the F-bomb or to someone to say the JC thing or something like that, and it never happened. I was waiting for someone to get irritated with each other because they didn't want it done that way, and we were in a very small kitchen with quite a few people. I was waiting for someone to get frustrated, and it never happened. Now, I'm not saying that her family was perfect, but to me at that time, it was pretty close. And there was such a peace in that home. And I experienced it right away. That's what's supposed to happen here. The peace of Christ that rules within our heart is supposed to be present in the place that we worship God. Why? Because he's worthy. Amen? Why? Because he loves us. And so many times we get so focused on our own problem and our own situation that we get our eyes off of Jesus and we get our eyes stuck on the things of this world. But I'm telling you, when we force ourselves in a way, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to trust what God has said here and allow God to transform our heart and our mind, and we remind ourselves what's good, because look what it says. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Can I tell you what is good? Jesus paid it all. Amen? We serve a risen and living Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen? We serve a Savior that will come back at his second coming and bring you to your true home, a place with no more sin, no more alienation, no more bias or prejudice, no more pain, no more rejection, a place where death is no more. Can anybody say amen? That's what we hold on to. That's why I say it begins with the resurrection of Christ and it ends with the resurrection of Christ. And all of it in the middle is about the resurrection of Christ. The victory that he purchased for you and for me. And we live in that victory. We don't go through this life like a bunch of Eeyores. Oh, Lord, bless God, another day. And it's hard to not do that. And I started throwing this pity party for myself the last couple days, and I was reading this verse, and I'm like, hold fast to what is good. God has saved me. I'm his child. He has promised me the gift of eternal life, and he will keep his promise. Amen. And so what do I have to be depressed about? Lord, enable me to love other people as you have loved me. I've always described myself as a funnel. I don't want that funnel to be plugged. I want it to be clear of any type of self-pity, of any type of victim mentality. I want that to be clear so that the love of Christ can flow in and through me in a way that's unencumbered by sin and by pride, or maybe even a feeling of worthlessness. That God would show you exactly how valuable you really are to him. He left the 99 and went after the one, and you are that one. And so how does love become genuine? How do we love one another with a brotherly and sisterly affection, outdoing one another and showing honor? We do it by resting in the assurance of salvation in Christ Jesus. That we remind ourselves day and night, help me out. When the Son sets you free, you are free. You guys really don't sound convincing. Becoming dependent upon Jesus, because apart from him, we can do nothing. But even in the midst of your depression, your loneliness, your trials, Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be, Lord, Savior, and Messiah, and he will come again to bring you to your true home. I pray that that would give you peace, joy, and contentment as we wait for his return. The next thing that we see in our text that Phil kind of touched on is that we have a responsibility to place ourselves in an environment that fosters love, unity, and spiritual maturity. I know that's kind of a mouthful, but it's the truth. We have a responsibility to place ourselves in an environment that fosters love, unity, and spiritual maturity. I'm praying that this begins in homes. Through spouses who love one another, who make Christ the most important person in their home. To be selfless and loving. In that verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal. I totally pictured like Ice Age when I read this. It means don't be lazy about being enthusiastic. Don't be lethargic about allowing the fire to be stoked within your heart through the preaching of the word, through small groups, and through our fellowship with one another. Remember what Hebrews 10 said, we're supposed to find ways to stir one another up and encourage one another to love and good works. I really believe that happens here at the worship service, but I believe it's really carried out in small groups. Now, we did something last week I kind of want to do again. I want you to kind of get together with your neighbor, just very briefly. And I want you to ask or determine, what do you think of the three greatest fears that hinder people from entering into small groups? So get together with your neighbor, grab a pen. What do you think are the three greatest fears that stop people from entering into a small group? I'll just give you guys just a couple minutes. All right, let's bring it back together and let's talk about this. Someone give me one of your top ones. What's that? Judgment, yep. Vulnerability, excellent. Someone said fear. Who said, someone said rejection. Who said that? Anyone? Oh, maybe I'm hearing things. Okay, Lydia did. Those are the top three. Fear of becoming vulnerable with other people. Fear of being judged. And the fear of rejection, not being accepted. I think humanity's greatest fear, and this is my opinion, is the truth. The truth about ourselves. Because what if people could read our minds? Wow. I probably wouldn't be your pastor. I do love you guys, and I think it's an honor to be here, and I'm so grateful that God called me here. But I'm human. And all of those fears have one source. Can you guess who they are? Do we realize that Satan is just as real as Jesus is? Do you realize that he hates you just as much as Jesus loves you? And he will do anything to hinder your spiritual growth and our unity here. Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us that we are to walk worthy in a manner to which we've been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And here it is, what Phil touched on, eager to maintain the unity and the bond of peace. Eager. Do not be slothful in zeal. Find ways to stir yourself up. Find ways to not be isolated as individuals, but allow yourselves to be knit together because of what Christ has done. Josh, could you put up the four characteristics of a healthy small group? These are what our small groups are to be accomplishing, and I'm kind of pleading with you. If you're not involved in a small group, get involved in one. Because these are the healthy characteristics of a small group, equipping, encouraging, serving, and sending. And they are important to the body of Christ, and we do need each other. I love my small group. I'm so thankful for them. Final thing that we see in our text is that the hope of the resurrection empowers, inspires, and inspires us to carry out God's will. The hope of the resurrection empowers and inspires us to carry out God's will. It begins with the resurrection of Christ and it ends with the resurrection of Christ. It begins with the promise of eternal life and the assurance of faith in Christ Jesus. And it ends with the fruition of that promise, the culmination of that, the day where Jesus comes again to take us to our true home. Verses 12 and 13 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. Is that easy? I'm not very good at that. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality. I believe with all of my heart, and it's my conviction, that this order of things is very intentionally laid by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. What is the first thing he says in 12? Rejoice in what? Hope of what? God and eternal life. That's really the key, isn't it? That we rejoice and hope that this world is not our home, that we have a reality on the other side of this life that is beyond our wildest imagination. Can anybody say amen? Can you imagine being perfectly understood? Sometimes when Connie and I talk, and it's probably all my fault, I feel like we're doing this. We just can't seem to connect in our communication. Sometimes when I try to be so gracious in an email, someone gets mad at me. It's like, why are you being so angry with me? I'm like, I really wasn't trying to do that. I'm so sorry. Can you imagine being perfectly understood? I can't, but I can't wait. Perfectly loved, perfectly comforted. Never, ever being lonely ever again. I'm ready for that. However, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, there's an aspect of that that becomes a reality here. May it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so this is the embassy of the eternal kingdom of God. And as we come into the assembly, as the embassy of the eternal kingdom of God, we are ambassadors hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, being assured of salvation in Christ Jesus, and allowing God through his word and sacraments and the fellowship that he is birthing and will birth in each other to stir us up to love and good works. Because we're knit together as a body in Christ, and in Ephesians 4 tells us that when the body is working properly, it builds itself up in love. And so we're on this journey together as a congregation, a journey toward unity and spiritual maturity, one that reflects the very kingdom that we belong to. Doesn't matter about your heritage, your socioeconomic status. It doesn't, and none of that matters in here, or it shouldn't matter in here. And if it does, please don't allow it to. And so one way I've suggested to the elders, and Ben and I have talked about this, Ben encouraged me to do this, and so you can blame him if you don't like it. I'm just kidding. We're doing something called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And there's a yellow sheet inside your bulletin. You see this, and on the back, it says, I'd like to be a host family. I'd like to attend. There's going to be more information that comes out, but this is the gist of it. We're going to have host families, and we're going to have families that want to go someplace. So if you have a beautiful home and you have the gift of hospitality and you want people over to your house, man, be a host. You will not know who's coming to your house. This may sound scary, but Ben and I, with the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, will prayerfully choose families who will have a good time together. We promise. We're going to do everything we can to put you in an environment where you're like, wow, I didn't know that person, but that was a lot of fun. Because can I tell you the first church I served that did this, can I tell you what my first reaction was? Oh, no. Yeah, introvert, right? But can I tell you, it was amazingly fun. And we left that house going, okay, that was cool. Let's do that again. And almost everybody else did too. And so whether you want to be a host family or whether you want to get more information, I'm asking you as your pastor. I'm asking all of you to consider doing this, please. I know it may be a little scary. I get that. But perfect love casts out all fears, it says in 1 John. And that perfect love is rooted in the assurance of faith of Christ Jesus. If we are all saved in Christ Jesus, we all have something very, very large in common with each other, don't we? And we all have something to share about our testimony, our journey of faith with Christ Jesus. And believe it or not, I can almost guarantee you that you will walk away blessed from this. And that God will use that evening to knit this congregation together in a way that only he can. And so if you want to wait next weekend, there'll be an insert with a lot more information and some more of the details. If you want to sign up now and just say, I'm all in, doesn't matter what happens, let's just be adventurous here and just go for it, go ahead and sign up. And if you're just kind of on the fence, I'm just asking you to commit this to prayer. Lord, do you want me to do this? But I can kind of guarantee you the answer is yes. If you have any concerns or any things that are important to you, allergies or anything, please come and tell Pastor Ben and I. Don't be afraid to tell us, no matter how it might embarrass you or you think it might be nitpicky. It's okay. I want this to succeed, and I want to know those things. And so please consider to do this, because that last line in our verse, what does it say? Seek to show hospitality. And this is one way this can happen. Not the only way, but I think it's an important one. May we always do this, again, rooted in the salvation of Christ Jesus, not because we have to, but because we get to, and hopefully because we want to, because of what Christ has done for us. Amen? Lord, I thank you for this text, and I thank you for this reminder that you have knit us together because of the miraculous gift of salvation that you have provided. May we treasure that gift more than our own safety. May we treasure that gift more than our own comfort level. Not that you would ever put us willingly into danger, Lord, but that you would lead us outside of our comfort zone to do a miracle and a work in this congregation, that you would truly knit us together in a way that only you can. And Lord, I pray that it's never done as works righteousness or a feeling that I have to do it. But Lord, may it always be rooted in the salvation of Christ Jesus as an I get to and an I want to. May it always be a response of faith motivated by love for what Christ has done for us. I pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, please stand and receive the benediction, which is taken from Ephesians chapter 3. If any of you would need prayer at the end of the service, there'll be people up here. They would love to pray with you. Please receive the benediction taken from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.